This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Thank you so much for joining me today. We had provisions in the 2018 Federal Farm Bill that authorized the development of industrial hemp production across the country. Looking at this, though, the growth is still not authorized under any state or federal programs here in the state of South Dakota. We have two bills that are moving through the legislature that would allow that type of growth in commodity and allow it to be proceeded to go forward here in the state. I do want to be clear, though, that if one of those bills were to be signed into law, that it would not be legal to start production until July of 2019, so not till July of 2019. Right now, the Department of Agriculture in the state of South Dakota and myself as governor discourage any producer from making plans to grow this commodity in 2019 for that reason. And in meeting with experts and learning more about this commodity, I recognize that our state is not ready for the production of industrial hemp. When we look at concerns that we have, there's unknown costs with how we license individuals to grow this commodity. There's public safety concerns and enforcement activities that need to be dealt with. We do not have a testing system for roadside transportation that could occur that we could utilize with our public safety officers. And we also are concerned with what we would do as far as opening up opportunities to start different types of hemp and production across the state as well. So what I am asking for is that in South Dakota we wait, that we do not proceed forward with an industrial hemp bill or legislation this year, that we wait until the federal guidelines are out, take a look at them, and if we have guidelines and a better idea of what the costs will be to the taxpayers of South Dakota, that at that time we proceed forward and see if this commodity really is as promising as so many people talk about. Last thing I want to touch on before we go to your questions is that this morning I had a meeting with Sue Peterson, the sponsor of the Intellectual Diversity Bill. Visited with her a little bit about the merits of her bill. There are parts of her bill that I think deserve discussion, but also I've addressed some concerns as well, which include cost to students and the ability for our Board of Regents to make the changes that she's requesting in several sections of her bill. So there will be work on amendments, and we'll continue the discussion going forward. And with that, I'll take any questions you may have.
Governor Noem, this is Kara Hart with the Red River Farm Network. Thank you for taking my question.
You bet.
I just wanted to follow up with that bit about industrial hemp production in South Dakota. That's an interesting stance because I know the market is, there's definitely potential there for growers, and I know that there are growers in Minnesota and South Dakota. While the market is developing, they are encouraging the production. So I guess maybe clarify further what the usage is right now, if you know, and production of industrial hemp in South Dakota, and maybe specifically why you feel this way a little bit more.
Well, we do have one of our tribes that is currently involved in the industrial hemp production activities. In the state of South Dakota, though, we do not have a state program, and no federal program has been authorized. That's why we see two bills currently moving through the legislature that would help set up a program that producers could grow the commodity and market it and transport it as well. But in sitting down and spending many, many hours talking about industrial hemp and the potential in South Dakota, we recognize that we will need to license producers. We will need to have people that can spot check these fields and plots as they are planted to make sure that they are industrial hemp and they don't have high levels of THC in them, that we will need to have roadside enforcement, that we have public safety officials and law enforcement officers that will be challenged with making sure that is what is being transported, and that also we don't have a roadside test that can be utilized today. The average cost of one test is about $165 a test, and obviously someone will have to pay for those costs. So you look at setting up that system, making sure that we have enforcement adequately funded and that we have the licensing and requirements, and I've talked about potential other ramifications of running this program. I would prefer that we wait on these bills, see what the federal guidelines look like, and make sure that we have a system that is set up correctly that doesn't cost a lot of our farmers and producers extra dollars by a program that's not set up correctly, and that we end up in a situation where we can be successful. Obviously, I voted for the 2018 Farm Bill. It had many other provisions in the Farm Bill that I supported, I'd worked on. Many of my bills were included in that final bill. It did have provisions that allowed us to pursue industrial hemp nationwide. That's why we sat down and spent so many hours researching and making sure that we knew how to move forward successfully. And so we're going to continue to do that. But I just know that even if we passed one of these bills through the legislative session this year, that producers would not be able to partake in that program until July 1st, which is in the middle of the growing season. And I want every producer out there, and the reason I'm talking about it today, I want them to know they should not be making plans to grow industrial hemp in the 2019 growing season. It would be irresponsible for us to say that there's potential for this next growing season, because no matter what, we will not have the system ready to go.
So what you're saying is if lawmakers do pass legislation, you will likely veto that if it comes to your desk.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I am encouraging people to have this conversation. I will always, whenever any bill gets to my desk, look at the language and what it is requiring of taxpayers and if we can feasibly run a program responsibly. But what I am asking is if they will give us time to see what federal guidelines look like and help us be prepared to incur the costs that running this program will put on taxpayers of the state of South Dakota.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would you suggest then waiting until next session, for example? Do you have any time frame?
That is what I would like to see, is that we be able to run this and make put a bill together that is much more informed than what we're able to do right now. When we have federal guidelines, we'll have a lot more details of how this will work. We'll know the costs. We'll have an assessment done, and we will be able to see exactly, you know, what the requirements will be. We don't have any of those answers today. So right now, passing a bill is really something that we're doing a little bit in the dark.
House Bill 1191, one of the two bills that passed through committee yesterday, as it stands right now, would you veto it?
I'll take a look at it. We've been discussing both bills, and we've been visiting with the sponsors. I've had several meetings with public safety officials, with Secretary Price and also with Secretary Vanneman from the Department of Ag. We've been doing research, talking to any other state that has a pilot program, how they've set those up in their states, and then visiting with tribes that have been involved in the industry as well. So, we're certainly bringing all people that have some wisdom in this area to the table so that we can make the best decision on what is being talked about this session, but also what it should look like if we have a bill next session as well.
In terms of the intellectual diversity bill, are you trying to arrive at a situation in which you have a bill you can sign? Can you talk about your philosophy on that?
You know, I believe the discussion has merit, and that the intellectual diversity portion of that bill doesn't cause me great concern, because I do believe that is something we should strive for on our campuses across the state of South Dakota. There's some language in the first section that deals with free speech that I'm reviewing today. The main concern that I have today is looking at the costs that are in the later sections that deal with imposing more credit hours on students, especially in light of the fact that many of them may be far along in their higher education career, and it could drag out their education, cost them more going forward. And that is why, specifically in my priorities, when I talked about a citizenship test, I talked about it at the high school level, that it was something that we could be talking about and educating individuals at that level and not putting more costs and burdens on students that are attending a four-year college.
Would those cost concerns also apply to the reporting elements of the bill?
You know, I think that there are some reporting elements that in my conversations with Board of Regents, they say could be more paperwork. They indicated a little bit more bureaucracy, but they weren't enough to cause me concerns. They're manageable. Other questions? Bob?
On the sports betting. You had David Weist testify against it. The first thing he said was that it was an expansion of gambling. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, he talked about the the costs, if you will. If you could expand on those two points.
Well, it sounds like he did a good job identifying my concerns with the legislation as it's coming forward. I'm not in favor of expansion of gambling in the state of South Dakota, and I look through that lens at any legislation that puts something else on the table for discussion. The second part of that, though, is that our early indications are pretty clear that opening up state sports gambling to the public could end up costing us more than the actual revenue that it would bring in. And so that's a real concern for me, and not worth the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Governor, we had mm-hmm. the South Dakota Department of Corrections and Department of Social Services appear in opposition to a juvenile justice reform bill that would allow adjudicated juvenile delinquents to be transferred over to DOC custody. Among the arguments made in favor of passing the bill, mm-hmm. Mark Vargo of Pennington County stated that upwards of $3 million may have been taken from DSS and transferred back into the general fund. They're expressing some difficulty in determining that exact number. Have you heard of this transfer of funds, and what's your position on that bill?
You know, and that bill in particular, with some of the reforms that happened a few years ago in juvenile justice reform packages that moved through the legislature, many of the counties have been making the argument that costs were put on them that the state used to incur through the Department of Corrections. And so the fact that this bill is in front of us today isn't a surprise to me. The question is, if they are looking to transfer those costs back onto the state government, how do we pay for that? Obviously, it wasn't in my budget, which is why we were up there opposing it, is because if it wasn't included in my budget, then it's not something that we can support today, and where we've prioritized our funds that we have to be able to utilize for the state of South Dakota. But I think it's a worthy discussion. These are concerns that I heard across the state of South Dakota, that counties are incurring more costs, and when we identify what's going on in our juvenile system, that we, first of all, take due diligence by these individuals, that we get them into a system, whether it's a treatment or probation or whatever type of opportunities we have to rehabilitate that individual and allow them to continue on the rest of their life as a successful member of society. That should be our focus, and I don't want to lose sight of that in looking at who's picking up costs. So these are things that we'll be talking with the counties on going forward and making sure that we're making the best decision.
Mm-hmm. Just as a general reaction, how do you feel about the idea of moving, say, a 16-year-old into DOC custody?
Well, you know, I would say that I don't have all the information to give you a strong opinion on that. I'm brand new to this job, been on a little bit over a month. It concerns me. I want to make sure that they're in the best place to get the best care, and sometimes sitting in a county jail or in that system isn't the best answer either. So where can they get where's the best delivery of counseling, opportunities to have consequences, yet give them the opportunity to be successful when they come out of the system? That's what I'm looking for, and we'll have to decide which system can provide the best opportunity for that.
Mm-hmm. House Bill 1269 would temporarily lift a statute of limitations on child sexual abuse crimes. Do you have any thoughts on that bill? I think the statute of limitations was put in place in 2010 when you were here in the state legislature. Mm-hmm. Do you have any guidance to lawmakers as to how you would like to see that bill play out?
You know, Lee, I haven't looked at that bill, so I'll have to look at it and get back to you if that's okay. Yeah.
You had mentioned previously having discussions with TransCanada about mm-hmm. Keystone XL. Did those meetings ever happen?
They did. The meeting was delayed a couple of times, mainly because of our weather and them having a difficult time getting here. But we did have a meeting earlier this week. This has been a long week. But we had that meeting earlier, and I would say it was a very productive meeting. We had pretty frank conversations about preparing for the future and what I was going to require of them. Going forward, and hopefully within a few days we'll be able to give you some details as to what was agreed on. They've got their lawyers looking at what I've proposed to them, so
Just one more question, if
sure.
I could. We heard about Judge Klinger being appointed yesterday in the Sixth Circuit. Mm-hmm. Opens the question for the Supreme Court. I know you have a pick mm-hmm. to make there. Any update on that, or where are we at in the process?
You know, the Judicial Review Committee is looking and will be moving forward on their process. They will submit names to me that we will select from. So we do have a couple other circuit court positions that we know we'll have to make decisions on as well, but we'll follow the normal process. I don't have a specific time frame. I would say within the next 3 months, I believe, is what they've laid out. So it's not next week. So I'll keep you updated.
I think a claim has been passed from the Secretary of State's office to the Attorney General's on, I guess, costs incurred for the presidential mm-hmm. Visit in Sioux Falls, asking for your campaign to cover the costs incurred from that. Do you have any plans on that or reaction?
No, I won't comment on that just because there is an ongoing investigation. Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.